This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
Welcome, everybody, to Top Beer, the show, the podcast, where we drink every beer from A to Z. The podcast where we've drank ales and interviewed Dylan Hales. The podcast where we've tried stouts, and I think sometime Tim pouts. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
With me is Timothy Robert Buckner, as he is every week. Tim, how are you doing tonight on this beautiful, chilly, cold Friday night? I don't know how it is in L.A., but how are you doing, Tim?
It is chilly cold out here, which is not the preferable way that I like to have my chili served here in Los Angeles. I prefer it warm. I don't know about you.
I saw someone post on Facebook, we had to move this person's in Florida. We had to move the party inside because the temperature dropped down to 66 degrees. You know how cold it is right now in Denver? 18 degrees. So that's...
Well, and also in Florida, it's always 666 degrees, so they were lying to you when they said it was 66.
It is.
Maybe it was 66.6.
Yeah. You make a good point. And how cold is it in LA right now? Like 50 degrees?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not keeping track. What's a few degrees between friends?
That's true. Okay, so tonight, Tim, we're doing Mexican cervezas, as they say in the old Spanish language, or Mexican beers, I guess you could say. We chose Mexican beers because I kind of have sort of a story with the kind of Mexican beers that I've, drank in the past and stuff. And I haven't had these in a while. So I think we thought, hey, it'd be fun to do something like that. So that's what we're doing tonight. And also one thing I wanted to get into tonight as well, because I was thinking about it. I've never really heard about craft Mexican beer, so I was hoping to get into that later on in the episode, if you'll indulge me, Tim.
So
craft Mexican beer, mainstream Mexican beers, at least, well, Mexican beers in general is what we're doing. And I don't really, I don't know the story much behind some of these brands and stuff, but I just know which ones I like the best from my past experiences with them. And if you don't mind, Tim, I'll just get into it. Beer tonight is Pacifico. Now, I've never seen... It says Cerveza Pacifico Clara, which means clear. And it's a tall can, obviously. And it's... they got their anchor... they got their... What is it? A life preserver? What do you call those circle donut shaped life preserver?
Preserver?
Is that what it is? When you throw it into the water to rescue...
Called a life preserver.
So the logo's that. In the middle, there's an anchor and like a red mountain in the background, and then on the outside, there's like some rope and some hop leaves and some hops and stuff. So that's pretty cool. Actually, I've always appreciated Pacifico's art on their cans and bottles. Honestly, I think of a lot of the mainstream beers, I think they have some of the best art. If you ask me, I mean this could almost pass for a craft beer can if you don't.
Oh, Pacifico.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, imported beer, brewed in Mexico, 24 floor ounce can. What's the ABV? I don't even know what the ABV on this. Does it tell you? Let's see. I'm not seeing it, Tim. Well, that's a good thing I have rape beer pulled up. The ABV on this bad boy is 4.5%. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open her up. I've never seen... I was kind of worried because I wasn't sure if they were going to have... if I was going to be able to buy a single bottle or can of these. But then I remembered, there's tall boys. I mean, tall boys are tall boys, and, they're usually cheaper and stuff. But anyway, so I just poured that into my nifty, handy-dandy Odell Brewing glass. By the way, have you ever seen those glasses, Tim, that are shaped like a beer can, kind of? Like, they have that sort of lip?
Oh, yeah.
I have one of those. Like, I bought it when I went to the Odell Brewing a few weeks back. Yeah, it's really cool.
I like those. I like those glasses.
Yeah, they're nice. Okay, so, this kind of, it's kind of surprising. This has a pretty nice, this almost, it almost just smells like a pilsner, to be honest. But like kind of a very floral pilsner, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of white, nice white, thick head. It's got, it's very effervescent, as you say. It's bubbly. And it's very see-through also at the same time, and yellow, like piss yellow, like, you know, the stereotype of these type of beers is that piss yellow color, which is funny because, you know, I normally drink darker, more bolder, you know, colored things, and, you know, here we are back to square one. Okay, so whatever, I'm going to go ahead and take a sip.
Do it.
You know what? That's not bad. Actually, for being what it is, it honestly, because technically this is a pale lager, brewed in Mexico DF, which is I think the Mexico DF means the capital of Mexico City.
Okay.
And for being like I said, for being what it is, it's actually not bad. It tastes pretty good. Like, compared to like Bud Light, Budweiser, or even like Heineken and shit, like this actually tastes pretty good. Would I drink this regularly? No, but if this was my only option, you know, I would definitely go for it. And honestly, like it's not as bready, it's not as malty as what I thought it would be, which obviously you get with pilsners and lagers and stuff. But this being more of a pale lager, it's not. I guess it's just not as it's not as bready. So that's good. I could sip on this tonight and be fine. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said in the last top beer, that maltiness, that breadiness, like, it's just kind of off-putting. But you don't really get that with this beer. And you get a nice floral, like I said, a nice floral aroma. And I can actually taste the hoppiness in it a little bit. Obviously, you're not going to get a lot of that, you know, because being the type of beer that it is. But are you ready for the rate beer score?
I am.
So the rate beer score in the Pacifico is a 4/46. Four for the overall. 46. Hey, but you know what? 46 for the style is not bad. That says something. That says that it's almost halfway there to being a good pale lager, but not, you know, not quite. But, you know.
Well, yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, right?
Have you had Pacifico?
I have had Pacifico, I believe, at some point in my life.
Yeah. Do you like it? You know what? I'm not going to... Don't even answer that. That's fine. It's fine. let's start with your first beer, Tim. What do you got for us tonight?
My first beer is Trader Jose's Dark. It's the Trader Joe's cheap brand, which was kind of the... As you were talking about, that was my concern, is where do you get Mexican beers by the single, right? Like, just... a 12 ounce, and you don't have to buy tall boys or whatever.
Right.
And then I remember that Trader Joe's
tall boys, but you know.
Well, and then I remember Trader Joe's lets you buy a single, just 12 ounce bottles of all their beers, and that they had their own kind of Mexican beer brand. So I looked into it, and it's contract brewed out of Cervecería Mexicana, which is also referred to here as Grupo Modelo, I guess. They brew, it seems like they contract brew a couple other beers. They contract brew a Ed Hardy beer, it says.
Ed Hardy.
Yes. At some point they did that. An adjunct lager, which means it's a lager that they put something in, which is interesting.
You know what's funny about that?
Is what's that?
It's that, like, it reminds me, and this is a really weird analogy. Not really weird, but it's kind of a weird analogy. Like, your local newspaper, if you live in a smaller city or small town, like, people, I don't know if people know this, but when you go to the store and you get, like, you see the New York Times, you see USA Today, you see the local paper, all those are printed normally at the same place in your town. Like, it's not actually right. physically shipped in from LA or whatever. Like, they send the file over to the local newspaper, and then they just fucking print everything and they distribute it, I guess, too. So right. it what you're describing kind of reminds me of that in a way, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, if you're not familiar with the concept of contract brewing and all this stuff, I mean, it exists all over the world. We've talked about it. You know, it's funny. You talked about this being a nice episode for us to kind of just shoot the shit. We actually had a conversation about something similar before years and years ago when we were out to just having dinner. When we went to... Was it Stuffed? I don't even know that. I don't forget the name of the pizza place, but there's a pizza place that had their own beer that was, or at least it said it was their beer. And then when we talked to them about it, it was the Firestone Walker Double Barrel Ale. Firestone Walker is actually known to essentially contract out their beers to different businesses and let them just call it whatever they want. Trader Joe's does quite a few. So if you see their kind of four-pack cans that look very similar to the Golden Road packaging already, those are actually brewed and distributed by Golden Road, specifically only for Trader Joe's. This is not an uncommon thing. There's a lot of breweries who make beers under different names for different places, and we'll just let that place call it whatever they want, rather than, you know, taking credit for their own beer. So they do something, a Day of the Dead beers, a bunch of different styles. So it looks like the Day of the Dead beer is like a brand that they use. They have Evans Premium. They have Ed Hardy. So it looks like they are a kind of a contract brewery for the most part. They are based in Mexico, so it actually is a from Mexico beer, which is kind of interesting to think. And it's supposed to be that this is an amber lager, it says, or a Vienna style lager, which is an interesting thing. It's actually a twist off, but I opened it with a bottle opener because I refuse to accept twist offs. I will not.
What's the rule of thumb if they're domestic beers, you don't have to, you know, it's twist off, and if it's imported, you have to have a bottle opener?
Usually, but that's not in this case.
Not in your case.
No, this is imported from Mexico, but it was still twist off, so that's kind of cool. A good rule of thumb is usually that it's the other way around, but
wait, are you sure? I thought I was right in that regard. I guess not.
Yeah. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, you were I misunderstood completely. All right, so anyway, what's it looking like so far?
Dark amber, kind of cola-y, thin head, no effervescentness to it. It's a little tan, really, really slight. Not a lot to it, honestly. I'll give her a taste. It's not bad. It's a little sweet, I'd say. But it's not terrible. It's got a little biscuit bitterness, a little malt flavors, but it's really, really light.
Yeah.
ABV of 5.3. Estimated calories at 159, which is, you know, interesting compared to the stuff we were talking about before that were double and triple that. So, yeah, I would say this is not terrible. It's not offensive, but
it's not offensive to the senses.
No, it's really not. But for me, I want something with a little bit more oomph to it. You know, I mean, I like when I drink a beer, I want to taste something, and this doesn't have a lot to it. Overall score is 21, and this for the style, it's 50. So that's all acceptable. It's not a terrible beer, but I mean, realistically, not something I'm going to drink a bunch of. But I could definitely see just getting a pack of these and drinking them if you're so inclined to be like a kind of run-of-the-mill beer drinker who's not into a lot of different kind of fancy flavors and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's you know, I totally understandable, you know? And I tend to stay away from the lager stuff anyway, you know, like lagers and pilsners anyway. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, like I've sort of graduated to more flavorful, better-tasting type of beers because to me, like those kind of beers, just I don't know. They just all taste the same at the end of the day, really.
Right.
Which is sad because we did a Pilsner episode and you know we tried different Pilsners from different, you know, breweries and stuff, and I think at the end of the day there was only, I mean, the one that stood out the most only it was only relative to the other two. Like at the end of the day, it was just all the same. I don't know what it is. I know that, and I hate to say it because I don't want to come off like a beer snob or whatever, but I don't know. I guess my palate has just been refined and stuff over, especially since doing this show. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because before, you know, remember I told you like I was trying to stay away from drinking the darker stuff like porters and stouts, and then I tried that milk stout from Left Hand, and it's like I love that stout. Like that's such a delicious beer. Like I saw that they're selling it in cans now, and I'm actually kind of excited because I want to try it in a can, you know, just because it's in a can. And it's a stout. It's like that wouldn't normally be like a daily drinker of mine, because you know me, I like IPAs and stuff. I like double IPAs. I like the really hoppy stuff. So so I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to come off like a beer snob, but you know, doing this show, I guess that's kind of unavoidable, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody can come off like whatever. It just depends on which asshole is judging you, right? But yeah, that's what we try to not judge people and just kind of, yeah, people are just people.
Yeah, you like what you like, you drink what you drink, and you know, I'm still sipping on the Pacifico. It's actually not that bad. It's not, like I said, it's not as malty as I thought it would be. So that's a good thing. Anyway, Tim, what else did you have on that first beer? Was anything else?
Yeah, I mean, as I drink it, there's some nutty notes, some roasty flavors. It's lightly toasted. It's really caramely and like I said, a little sweet. But I mean, again, as you drink it, I think you just kind of ease into it, and it doesn't really offend. But again, it's like, it's probably only like one or two steps away from drinking a soda or something. You know, it's not, it doesn't really feel like I'm drinking a beer.
Right. Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, with that said, I think we'll take our first break, and when we come back, we'll move on to our second beer. What do you think?
I like it.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And, of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
All right, welcome to the second segment of Top Beer. In the news business, Tim, this would be called the B block. Ooh.
What?
Well, you know, like there's an A block, there's a B block, there's a C block, there's a D block. That's how it's done in the
news. That's how the alphabet works.
There's a rundown, and the rundown has those blocks. But anyway, let's not go off on a tangent here, because the night is not young. The night is actually getting kind of long in the tooth, as you like to say, Tim. So we're going to go ahead and go on to my next beer, my second beer. Now, I got this beer tonight, Tim, because this beer, it's a very ubiquitous beer. You see it a lot. You see it everywhere. You can buy this anywhere and everywhere. But it kind of holds a special place in my heart. Honestly, it does. Because this is a beer that I drank a lot in college. This was the beer that on the weekends, on a Friday night after school and after work, I would go to the AM/PM by my apartment and I would buy Corona Extra, the famous Corona beer, La Cerveza Más Fina, which means in English the finest beer. I like how a lot of mainstream beers, like, what is it? Coors is the wine or the champagne of beers, or which beer calls itself that? Is it Coors or Miller Lite?
It's the High Life. It's the Miller High Life.
And don't they call themselves the champagne of beer or some shit?
Yes.
Right. I think it's funny that if you have to say you're the finest beer, the champagne of beers, you're probably not that great of a beer, right?
Well, what's funny is, if you remember on the podcast that we did, what was it? God damn it. Berliner Weiss is the actual true champagne of beers. It's the beer, champagne beer is what it was been called for centuries.
Right.
But Miller High Life just kind of stole that phrasing as an advertising thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, the normal, the usual kind of beers that we have on this show, you know, the craft beers and stuff, like, you're never going to see that in their cans or bottles. But I digress. So Corona kind of holds a special place in my heart, Tim, because this was the beer that I drank a lot in college, and even after college, too. You know, until I became woke, as the kids say these days, and discovered better beer. And I think it was when I started hanging around with you that I started drinking better beer.
This is correctly. True.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Otherwise, I'd still be drinking this shit. Anyway, no, let's not be mean. Okay, so it's the Corona Extra. You guys know what it looks like in the bottle. It's the white and blue label.
You've seen it.
I'm not gonna describe it. You're right. You've seen it. Okay, but I have it in a can. I have it in a tall can. So I've never drank Corona out of a tall can. So this is gonna be interesting. Let's open that bad boy. I'm gonna drink it straight out of the can. I'm gonna go old school.
Ooh.
I wish the guy at the liquor store would have given me some bags with these tall cans. I could feel like a real schlub. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say for your face.
For my face? Why would I need it for my face?
So that you, no one would have to look at it. You can put a bag over it.
Oh, okay. So I haven't had this beer in a while. Thanks for that. I haven't had this beer in a while. And normally, if you remember that thing that people would do, and I don't know if you ever experienced this, but definitely in college, it was like, you got to have that lime slice in there. You got to put it in the bottle. You got to use your thumb to like press it down into the bottle. And then you kind of slowly turn the bottle upside down until the lime slice goes all the way up. And it's supposed to flavor the beer, right? It doesn't
right,
do cause shit.
Because it tastes like shit.
Well, it tastes like shit and it doesn't do shit. But anyway, this beer is definitely a lot maltier than I remember, Tim. I don't get any kind of florals. Yeah, I don't get any kind of floral essence. I don't get any kind of hoppiness at all. It's just like, here, let me take another sip.
It's got that malt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's, yeah, it's a lot breadier than the last beer I had in the Pacifico. I think that's why I enjoy the Pacifico more. And it's fitting that on Rate Beer, this beer, this Corona Extra, this brewed by, oh, it's also brewed by Grupo Modelo, by the way.
Ah, there
out
we go.
Of Mexico, out of the DF, the Distrito Federal, which just means the federal district, which just means it's the capital of Mexico City, I believe. 4.5% ABV, score of 1 over 11. So this is a lot worse than the Pacifico. The Pacifico had a better style rating than this and a better overall rating than this. This Corona has got a 111, Tim. 111, never forget.
Oof.
What's your fondest memories of drinking a Corona? Do you have any fond
None.
Memories?
I don't have any fond memories of doing a Corona.
Yeah, I remember, I kind of chose it just for the story because I remember, you know, like I would get home from work on a Friday night and I would go to the AMPM and I would pick up either a 6-pack or a 12-pack, depending on how adventurous I was feeling that night and how, you know, how broke I was.
Right.
And I would drink like 3 or 4 of these, you know, in the night and I would get a little drunk, but honestly, even though it's 4.5%, it doesn't really seem like it seems like it's a lot less stronger than that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you open the weather app and it tells you it's 45 degrees outside, but it feels like 30. It's kind of
right.
Like that. It doesn't seem or feel or taste like a strong beer at all.
Got it.
This is a beer that you just throw back, just throughout the night, just drink Coronas and shit. Of course,
pound those shitty ass beers.
But of course, in the bottle, not in the can. Everybody always drinks these, and I think girls like Corona too. I don't know what it is, but I remember the kind of people and we sort of talked about this one time. Like, do certain beers have certain kind of demographics, right? And I remember that the girls always like to drink Corona. I don't know what it is. Like, girls like Coronas. I don't know if it's just because it's. I don't know. I don't know what it could be. I mean, what do you think, Tim? What do you think about that theory?
I have no idea. I really don't. I don't. I guess just because it's there, does it not have a lot of flavor? I don't know.
I mean, it's just, I guess, I think it's just because it's so ubiquitous, you know?
Yeah, it's just there.
Would you go, I mean, could I go as far as to say that Corona is like the Mexican beer version of Bud Light? Like, that's how common it is? Like, do you think?
Yeah, that feels right.
That feels about right, doesn't it? Because I see more Corona drinkers than I see Pacifico drinkers or Tecate or Modelo or Carta Blanca is one of those Mexican.
Is that a beer?
Yeah.
Never heard of it?
Yeah, there's I actually saw it at the store tonight. I was considering getting it, but I didn't end up.
You should have got it.
Anyway, Tim, what's your second beer for tonight?
My second beer is Lager Especial from Dos Equis.
That sounds fancy, Tim.
It's not. This is Dos Equis. This is the regular Dos Equis that comes in the yellow or the green bottle.
Oh, okay.
It is a pale ale. It's a pale lager, as they say. It's from FEMSA is the brewery that they say. It's the same brewery that does Bohemia and Soul beer, which if you're familiar with, they also do Tecate and they do Dos Equis. So it's kind of funny. It's like the AB InBev. It's very similar in Mexico that these breweries are doing. Essentially, a lot of the beers are all just coming from the same brewery. So they got a chunk of the pie. I mean, I would be interested to see if you looked up the brewery that does Corona, if they also do other beers that people know kind of off the top of their head.
I have it pulled up, so I can actually find out for you right now. So you have the regular Dos Equis in, right?
Yeah.
You know, they have a darker, what's it called? It's like the dark amber or something like that. That one's that one's not that bad.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like Dos Equis lime or Dos Equis dark or something.
Yeah,
I don't know
like
what
dark
it's
amber, I think it's called.
I don't know what it's called. There's a name for it.
It's compared to the regular Dos Equis, it's actually pretty good. Like it's relatively
It is amber, you're right.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they also have a Dos Equis Radler. What the fuck? Imagine drinking that.
What's Dos Equis Radler, Tim?
It's like it's a shandy. It's a Dos Equis shandy. Also, it's lime. They do it's a Dos Equis lime, but they're calling it a Radler to maybe try to cash in on those being more popular now, or maybe they just thought they'd call it that. Anyways, they also, the same company does Indio, the Indio beer. So. Let's see, ABV of 4.2, calories of 126. So this is light beer, not super alcoholic. It's yellow, piss colored, clear, no head at all, really. I mean, God, there's nothing here, honestly, no head. Just some, like, it looks like maybe someone spit in the top of your glass a little bit. That's the closest thing to it. Yeah. Well,
such a stark visual, by the way.
I'll just give it a taste and we'll see. I mean, there's nothing to it. It's got a little bit of that kind of shitty malt flavor
tonight. Sorry.
Yeah, you know that shitty kind of malt bitterness that you get on the back of your tongue after you drank it.
I have that right now, actually.
Yeah, it's the same thing that you got going on there. It's bready. It's malty. There's no hop flavors at all. It says it's got a beverage made from pure spring water and the choicest hops here. But I don't. Maybe they were being so picky about which hops they'd use that they forgot to pick any out to actually use them. Because I don't taste any hops here. It's just malt.
You know what this makes me think, Tim? It's like those factories in Mexico that make jeans for like 10, 20 different brands, and all they do is slap a different label on the same pair of jeans that go through the factory, right?
Right.
And I feel like it's the same thing with this shit. Like honestly, like I don't want to talk shit because, you know, again, don't want to come off like a beer snob, but whatever, let's just do it. I feel like I can imagine a factory where they're just pouring the same beer into just different bottles and cans, but it's the same exact thing. It's a very incestuous thing. And you asked me to look up what
you're right, because it was Grupo Modelo, the one that I had already talked about.
So they make, really quick, Barilito, never heard of that one. Corona Cero, Corona Extra 3.2.
Yeah, so they make all the Coronas.
Corona. Yeah, Estrella Jalisco, Genuina, Ideal As de Oros, I never heard of that. Cluster, Oscura, Leon Negra, Modelo Amber, all the Modelo beers. Montejo, Negra Modelo, Pacifico Colada. Oh, so even Pacifico, obviously.
And they make Victoria.
Victoria, Tropical Light, and Victoria. So I feel like you would not
be They make able Pacifico to taste, as well.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't be able to taste the difference between any of these beers if you had them all in one night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably
you
not.
Just, you wouldn't. I mean, and
Modelo Obscura.
To a certain point. The Pacifico I had does taste better than this, but at the end of the day, it pretty much just tastes the same. And I just think that, I don't know. It just sounds like it's just like they just poured the same thing into different.
Yeah,
slap a different label on it. And it's all it almost, bullshit, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. It seems like it's almost worse than the kind of the big three here in America.
Yeah.
In Mexico, it seems like it's essentially two or three breweries that make everything.
And
so.
This is why we drink craft beer, because we actually have more of a choice in the flavor and stuff of the beer. You know.
That's it.
Because otherwise, you're just drinking the same shit. You know,
it's true. So the overall score on this Dos Equis was 4, and the style is 46. So
style's not bad. There you go.
They did a good job for making a crappy beer, I guess. I guess is what you say there, or they almost did a good job at making a crappy beer. I don't know. I don't even know if that makes sense, but based on that score, I guess that's what I figure. I don't like this beer. I'm not even gonna finish it. I'm probably just gonna pour this out because I don't like it. The Trader Jose Dark, I'm actually willing to continue drinking. I actually got almost halfway through it, but this one, I don't think so. I just don't like it.
Yeah, and on that note, like I don't think I could drink Corona again. Like at the time when I was drinking it in college, it was like it was the beer for me to drink, and I certainly don't have that anymore. It doesn't hold up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know how when you watch a movie with special effects, and sometimes the special effects hold up really well, like in the original Jurassic Park, or sometimes they look like shit, you know, only 5 years later, like
in the second Jurassic Park,
the original Hulk movie that came out. Well, that was like 10 years ago, but you get what I'm saying, though. It just doesn't hold up.
You know what I mean? Wish you had stuck with the Jurassic Park theme.
Well, I think
it wouldn't work though.
But you know what we're going to hold up, Tim? We're going to hold up to you, to our listeners, the next ad break. And then when we come back, we're going to try a third and final beer. What do you think?
That sounds good.
Placement Nation's JT Rizzero here. And I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlacementNation.com. And we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Placement Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit clotheslines and headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and, Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Placement Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You know what's an amazing piece of underrated technology, Tim?
I don't know. What's that?
The dishwasher.
Okay.
I have a dishwasher. My apartment came with a brand new dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And, like, it leaves my glasses, like, so perfectly crystal clear. I love it.
Sounds good.
And, okay, I'm going to go ahead and start. Okay, so we're back. Tim, I was just telling you about dishwashers and how awesome they are. I have a theory, Tim. I have a theory that if you drink any beer out of a decent beer glass, it's going to taste a lot better than it would if you just drink it straight out of the can or the bottle. You know what I'm saying? And
that's true.
For my third and final beer, Tim, I'm going to throw you for a loop on this one. Are you ready?
I think it's fitting that you're talking about dishwashers while we're drinking Mexican beer. I just want to put that out there. All right, you're throwing me for a loop. Let's do this.
For a loop. I have in front of me Tecate. Michelada Diablo, Tim. Diablo.
Oh, no.
Beer with tomato juice and, what does that say? And something. Oh, natural flavors. The typeface they use on these beer cans is ridiculous sometimes. Okay. Everybody knows Tecate. Tecate is a Mexican beer. I used to hang out with a group of people back in the day. A group of folks, right? Sort of friends, sort of not, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And one of the guys, he would always drink Tecate. And I always thought, because of him, I kind of perceived it as being like a low-grade beer. And I think that's
was he a low-grade friend?
He was. That's what I'm saying. Like, perfect. I thought if he drinks Tecate, he probably sucks.
Do you want to say what his name is?
No. Well, you don't know him, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
You don't want the people at home to know that I found Diablo IPA and then I found Diablo IPA ice cream?
No.
Thanks to this?
I mean, should people know that? I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so, so Tecate Michelada Diablo. Michelada? I don't even know how you say that in Spanish.
Michelada.
Yeah. See, you got a better Spanish accent than me, Tim. Good job.
I like that stuff. Beer. Actually, this Dos Equis would be a lot better if I could dump some clam juice in it.
Yeah. This is the style of this is described by Rate Beer as a spice/herb/vegetable beer. It's out of Monterrey/Orizaba, Mexico. I have no idea where that is. It suggests to be served in a lager glass, a shaker, or a tumbler. I have a tulip glass.
Perfect.
My one and only Tulip Glass.
God, this Mr. Beer Premium Gold Edition Home Brewing Kit is less than $50, and it's all plastic. It looks like garbage.
Are you looking at beer kits right now?
Yeah, I got looking on stuff on Amazon.
There's a podcast show idea right there. Is we each buy a homebrew kit, and we just make beers, and we describe them on our show.
Talk about how shitty they come out because we're not good at brewing.
You know what? Honestly, I had a beer made by a coworker of mine a while back that he made in his house, and it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but how long has he been brewing?
Oh, he hasn't done it that much.
Did you ask him?
He's not very smart.
Did you ask him how long he's been brewing?
But just based on his level of intelligence, I would assume. And also the fact that he said he's only done it like once or twice, okay? So not long.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, this beer pours.
Anyways, enough about your dumb coworker.
This beer has it's red. It's got a red, it's red and cloudy, no head whatsoever.
Because it's not really a beer. That's a. It's kind of like a Radler. It's a beer cocktail.
Well, yeah, it's a beer. Yeah, but it's still technically a beer. It has beer in it. Okay, so it smells like Clamato juice piss. A little bit. You know what? Hold on. I need to smell it out of the.
Does it smell like piss?
Yeah, it has that Clamato smell. Let me take a sip.
Does that have Clamato in it? It says tomato.
Yeah, whatever it is. I guess. It's not the Clamato brand per se.
No, but is it just tomato juice, or is it tomato juice that has clam juice too?
I don't know, man. Let's see what it says on the can.
The can just says tomato.
The can has drawn a tomato, a lime, and some red peppers. I don't know if those things are actually in it. Oh, here we go. A refreshing and authentic blend of Tecate beer with tomato juice and the flavors of salt, spice, and lime. Okay.
See? So it doesn't have Clamato.
No, it doesn't. But it's kind of like saying Kleenex or tissue paper.
No, but Clamato means tomato juice with clam juice mixed.
Is that what that means? I thought it was just a marketing thing.
No.
I don't know.
If it doesn't
have
clam juice, then it's not Clamato. It's just tomato juice.
Well, today I learned, Tim. Okay. All right. Can I get on with
it? No. Take another swig.
Yes. Hang on. This isn't bad, honestly. I mean,
no, I know.
No, it's not bad. It's got way more flavor than the last two beers I had. I kind of like the spiciness of the salt and the spice, and I like the tomato taste as well. It just, like you said, it's just a beer cocktail at the end of the day. But I chose this beer, Tim, because I used to, you know, my friend Eric, a friend of mine named Eric. We used to hang out in his garage sometimes at his dad's house, and we would drink tall boys, right? He would always get like some cheap shit like blue ice, or what the hell was it called?
Blue ice.
Not blue ice. It was called I forget what it was. One of those really cheap beers, man. Like what are some of the popular cheap like tall cans? I'm trying to think.
Like Michelob ice?
No. Yeah. No. Well, something along those lines.
Bat Blue.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Milwaukee's Best.
Huh?
Milwaukee's Best.
Yeah. Not that, but something like that, right? Bush. Like Bush Light. That's what he would get. It would be Bush Light, right? Okay. You know Bush Light. Everybody knows Bush Light. We used to have a Bush Light sign.
That's our present.
In my apartment in college, actually. I don't know where my roommates found it. But we had in our kitchen a Bush Light sign. It's such a college thing to have on your wall, right? But anyway, post college, I moved back to the desert, and I would hang out with my buddy Eric, and you know, sometimes he'd hit me up like on a Friday or Saturday night. Hey man, let's go grab a tall can and just chill, you know. And that's what we do. And I would always get the Bud Light, the Bud Light version of this beer I'm drinking. This is basically like, they got this take on that tomato, you know, cocktail beer. But Bud Light has their own. I think it's called the Michelotto or something like that. It's something weird. But
I think the Bud Light one is Chivella's.
That's the one. So this beer takes you back to those days, man. You know, those simple days of just hanging out in your buddy's garage drinking a beer, you know, hanging out.
The Halcyon days.
The what days?
Halcyon.
What does that mean?
I think it means when you were younger.
Yeah, not too much younger, but younger for sure.
Well, yeah, younger than you are now.
So I actually like this. It's not bad. It's flavorful. this is something that and the taste and the smell of it really takes me back to those days. You know how like they say like there's something about your smelling sense that's sort of linked to your memory. And I'm really feeling that with this beer. I really am. A score on Rate Beer, 8.88 actually, 8/8. So 8 for the overall, 8 for the style. So it's pretty low on Rate Beer.
Really low.
Which is not surprising at all. But I like it. I actually like this beer, Tim. I'm going to keep drinking this. What do you got for us next?
I have got Modelo Especial.
Ooh.
And it's from the same brewery as like half the other beers that have been on the show, essentially. Grupo Modelo. It's also a pale lager. It's, I mean, come on. Everybody knows at this point. We know what we're doing here. There's no need to play games anymore.
No need to beat around the bush.
Oh, God, it smells like a fart. I think this one was skunked.
Oh, no.
It's because it comes in clear glass.
Who puts a beer in a clear glass?
Modelo does. It's coming all the way from Mexico in a clear bottle. It's got the fucking glass around the top. Or not the glass, but the gold leaf around the top to really let you know that this is a classy beer. Yeah, it smells bad. It smells like it's been skunked.
What do you mean by it's been skunked exactly?
Something probably light, age, all that have essentially just made the beer go bad. It starts to oxidize and different things about the flavor go off.
Well, shit.
It's a lot more effervescent, a lot more color, a lot more flavors, or not a lot more bubbles. It's essentially looks the same as the last one, but a little bit more head. But essentially the same kind of just pale white head. And yeah, you can really smell it because it's not, I don't think because of anything other than the fact that, as I said, it has been skunked because it's in a clear bottle. So I'll give it a taste.
That's a shame, man. But yeah.
Doesn't taste terrible.
No, it doesn't taste better than it smells.
Yeah, it definitely tastes better than it smells. Smooth, little biscuity. Again, no hop flavors at all. Really just kind of tastes like water.
Yeah. That's a damn shame, Tim.
Yeah, there's almost nothing to this, honestly. You can barely taste it. So this would be good to pour some clam juice in. You would barely even be able to tell that you're drinking a beer.
You should have gotten yourself what I got tonight, Tim. That's what you
should. I should have. I wish that I had.
You goofed it. You goofed it a little bit.
I done goofed.
Goofed.
4.5% alcohol per volume, 135 calories, and overall of 3, and a style of 39. This one I could probably drink. I could probably finish it just because you don't really taste much to it. But why? You know what I mean? At this point, why even waste your time drinking this? You're just going to feel bloated and shitty. It's not going to get you anything that you're looking for in a beer.
What is it really about these kinds of beers that make you feel bloated? I hate that. I hate that so much.
I don't know what it is. I really don't. I think it's because you don't get any buzz at all because there's like no alcohol, so you can just feel yourself, like feel your body still. When you're drinking other beers, like you start to get a little buzz so you don't notice maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is something about it where you do kind of start to notice just how bloated you start to feel.
Yeah, this episode was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a terrible idea. I mean, it was your idea. We talked about it.
It was.
I think off air, but now it's official. I'm going to put it out there. This was your stupid-ass idea. I wouldn't have picked this. But you know what? You said you wanted to talk about craft beer in Mexico. So do you know anything about any craft breweries in Mexico?
No, but we're going to do that in our next segment, Tim, because in our next segment, after we talk about craft beer, we're going to
talk about our least bottom beer.
Our top beer.
I think that's fair this episode. I think it should be our least worst beer.
When we come back. Ready?
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more. including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
All right, we're back. Tim, how are you feeling tonight?
Not great, not great.
did you pick up some good beer along with the other beer?
Or? I did.
Good, good, good. But so you see, I fucked up. I didn't do that.
Sure did.
Okay, so Tim, yeah, so we teased this a little bit. Mexican craft beer. I never gave it much thought. I didn't give it much thought this week, even when, you know, in getting prepared for this episode. But of course, it's a thing, right? It has to be. Why wouldn't it be? I found an article. This is from foodandwine.com. This summer's hot beers will be Mexican lagers made by American brewers. What do you think about that?
Ah.
And
is this a recent article?
No, March of last year, so not really.
Yeah.
But guess what? The first beer that they have on here, it's by none other than Oscar Blues Brewing Company, which we've had on this show.
Oh, the Burrito. Times.
The Burrito. I've never heard of that one, Tim. Have you had that?
I have not. I guess I didn't realize it was the beer of last summer.
Interesting. This week, Oscar Blues Brewing, a brewery, the grandfather of the American canned craft beer movement, announced they'd be bringing a new brew to their aluminum package lineup. Burrito. A Mexican style lager. That almost sounds like a name of a kid in some one of those really cheesy Mexican American movies. Like Burrito, come here, Burrito.
It does. You're right.
Through the Longmont, Colorado based brewery has a history as an innovator when it comes to American craft breweries producing and canning Mexican style lagers. Believe it or not, Oscar Blues is slightly behind the trend. On the southern side of the state, Durango's Ska Brewing has been making the Mexican style lager since 1999 and canning it since 2011. Meanwhile, last year, another elder statesman of the craft can movement, San Francisco's 21st Amendment Brewery, Tim,
introduced
cans of their El Soli Cerveza, which they've been testing out for about 5 years. I don't really like the can.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had that one? Have you tried it? Do you know?
No, I've seen it, though. I didn't realize it was theirs.
We better jump on these beers quick before we start paying a 20% tax on them, by the way.
Is that a thing? Well, these ones are from America.
That's true, but, you know, knowing this administration. Anyway, plenty of the other 4,000-plus breweries across the country have also been trying their hand at the style, regardless of their proximity to the Mexican border. In the Midwest, Ohio's Great Lakes Brewing Company recently toasted the start of 2016 with their new Mexican lager, and in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Wolverine State Brewing's signature summer seasonal is the Verano Mexican-style amber lager. So, what's all the Mexican love coming from? Where's all the Mexican love coming from? It's certainly not courtesy of Donald Trump. Instead, it's a confluence of multiple trends in the American beer market. Strictly from a numbers perspective, while sales from America's biggest producers, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and Miller Coors, have grown stagnant, two areas of the market that have been seeing large growth are craft beer and Mexican brands. Though craft brewers prefer to tout creativity over filling demand, it's only natural to give beer lovers what they want. People want a decently built light beer that's not made by a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate, explains 21st Amendment founder and brewmaster Sean O'Sullivan, speaking to how the best-known Mexican brands have long since been bought up by larger companies. Well, we've certainly found that's the truth tonight, right, Tim? Thomas Larson, brewmaster for Ska, agrees that the demand and love of these beers is there. Quote, I think it's a bit of nostalgia for what may have been a lot of people's first introduction to beer, he tells me. Sometimes even though we trash the light lagers of the world, we just crave that. And they have a can on here, Mexican lager. It's a green can, and it literally says lager as an L-O-G-G-E-R. I like that. It's pretty cool. Mexican lagers also play into the recent trend of lower alcohol session beers. Burrito, Mexican lager, and El Soli all come in below 5% ABV, making them the perfect refreshing summer alternative to all the high-octane styles out there. These relatively simple recipes can be seen as part of the pushback against the never-ending barrage of super hopped, high alcohol, or overly experimental beers, which is what we love on this show, damn it. I don't care what anybody says. And as strange as it sounds, craft brewers tackling Mexican-style beers fits into another American beer tradition as well. Innovation. U.S. brewers have been reinventing foreign styles for as long as Americans have been drinking beer. The big ubiquitous American brands are all derivative of German lagers. Craft beer signature India Pale Ale is just a new take on a traditional English style ale, or English style, and plenty of American breweries have been obsessed for decades with recreating Belgian beers in the States. I think we know that for just from first-hand experience,
yeah.
Right? Though Mexico might not have been the same, might not have the same beer pedigree as those brewing heavyweights, comparatively bringing American craft beer sensibilities to Mexican brews is still relatively unexplored territory. What's really helping push the trend forward, however, is that many of these new beers are just damn good. From the moment you shove your nose in the pour of El Sully, for instance, you're immediately greeted with the notes you'd expect from a traditional Mexican beer like Modelo. It's built that way by design. Quote.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeast
is amazing.
The key
you're
ingredient.
Talking about the nose of Modelo, and then I just got fucking skunked out by how shitty it smells. Like, what the fuck? I'm cutting you off here. You know why?
No, you're fine.
Number one, it's super dry that you're just talking about. You're just reading an article. That's number one. And number two, you're reading an article about American breweries doing Mexican beers. That's not Mexican craft beer.
Well, by proxy, it is.
By proxy, it's knockoff. I was talking about real Mexican craft breweries. Now, I have tried beers from Insurgencia, I think, Insurgencia. Yeah, that's it. Brewery that's in Tijuana, Mexico. They had an IPA that I tried that was fantastic. Cucapa, I don't even know what brewery makes it, but it's a good beer as well. So there are some good beers in Mexico. I mean, they don't just have to be these American breweries stealing the idea. So I don't know. Number one, I kind of don't like the article's conceit that we need to drink American brewery or we need to drink beers from American breweries for them to be any good. There are good Mexican breweries.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just, hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading what the article.
No, I know. Yeah, no, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, so it kind of annoys you. It seems like this
a little bit.
But I mean, what's the difference between this and like how the article says how all the big main beers in the U.S. are just derivatives of German style lagers and fucking pilsners and Belgian style beers? I mean, it's just companies borrowing from other sources, just like how they do with anything else. I mean,
right. But I'm just saying, because the point here was we were supposed to be talking about Mexican beers, and this is all just about American beers. I mean, towards the end of this article, do they at least give a shout out to some Mexican breweries, some Mexican craft breweries?
Let's see. Skim the article here. No.
No, they just never talk about any actual from Mexico breweries.
They don't.
And I should have
chosen a better article about actual Mexican beers, and I didn't, and that's my fault.
Okay. No, it's not a big deal.
But there is an article by MarketWatch called Mexican Beer Gives U.S. Craft Beer a Run for Its Money, but then you click on it, and what's the first thing you see is Corona Extra, so I don't really know.
Here's this Cerveceria de Baja California. Mexicali Cerveceria de Baja California. Yeah, De Baja, California is one of the true pillars of the country's craft beer scene. This is the brewery that makes that Cucapa that I was talking about. So they are near the – all right, no, it's named after an indigenous culture that lives in the Arizona-Mexico border. They've been around since 2002, and, yeah, they make a double rye ale. So they make essentially a lot of beers that you would expect to see – from American craft breweries, but they're in Mexico. Well, I mean, they're right on the border there, but, you know, they're still technically Mexican. So there's one there. There's Garicela. It is a brewery that is in Mexico City on Calle Orzabá, it says, in Mexico City's urbane tree-lined Roma Norte neighborhood or Roma Norte. They serve pale ales in giant mugs in a bistro-inspired sandwich shop. That sounds really fucking awesome. So if you're ever in Mexico, go check out La Garicela's. It sounds pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's beer culture in Mexico. I'd actually wouldn't mind checking it out, and I was looking into it. And a couple of these breweries are a two-hour drive from where I live, so maybe I'll go check them out. Maybe if you do end up moving out to San Diego like you've been talking about, maybe you'll be even closer to come check out some of these places.
You know, I was just going to say, I wish I had the money so I could do an Eat, Pray, Love kind of trip to Mexico and just drink craft beer and see what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the only problem is they probably won't let you back in after they build the wall.
That's true. That damn wall is just going to throw a wrench into the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, Well, enough about that. all right. I think it's ready. I think it's time, Tim. What do you think? Do you think it's time?
I think it's time.
I think it's time to announce our top beer.
Ugh. It still feels wrong to even call it that.
Our top least worst beer. Yes?
Yes.
I'll go first. I'll do Please the honors. Do. I'm going to go with the Gatas Diablo, Tim. I'm doing it.
Okay.
It stood out the most. It's got the most flavor. I like the I could, you know what you would pair this beer with? Fish tacos. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds good.
You imagine being on the beach, eating some fresh fish tacos, and you're drinking this beer. That's the perfect combination.
Are those fish tacos, are they breaded or are they grilled? How are they cooked?
Either or. I mean, what do you prefer? Whatever you prefer.
You know, oh, they got to be breaded, I think.
I like them breaded, too.
Greasy fried fish.
Do you remember what was the name of that fish, that bar we would go to in downtown Palm Springs that served really good fish tacos? What was it called?
Do not know. I don't remember what you're talking about, if I'm perfectly honest.
There's a fish.
Oh, is it Shanghai Reds or whatever?
Shanghai Reds, yes.
That was the spot. I used to like Lapa Lapa out there in the valley. That's a great fish taco place. And they also had a Tostadas de Pulpo. That's my favorite.
I never ate at Lapa Lapa, actually.
It's a good spot.
I never ate there, not once. Like, I seen it. I think there was one in Cathedral City and one in
And there's one in Las Vegas.
Oh, well, imagine that.
I know.
I never tried it, though. But I believe you when you say it's
good. Yeah, I'd recommend it.
You know what's not a bad contender is Del Taco's fish tacos. Have you ever had those?
I have not, but they sound like they're bad, according to you saying that they're good and they're from Del Taco, so...
Hey, I've had them. They're not that bad. Okay.
All right.
What's your top beer? What's your top least worst beer tonight, Tim?
I'd have to go with the Trader Hoje Dark just because it's the one that I can actually drink. So, yeah. I mean, it's the winner by default, unfortunately.
All right. Well, I mean, that's fair, I think. You know, it's relatively the best one you had tonight. You got to look at the glass half full, not half empty, Tim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whenever people say that to me, it's like you also have to remember what the glass is full of, because if it's full of shitty beer, it doesn't matter if it's half full.
That's a very good point, my friend. Very good point. All right, Tim. Before we go, is there anything you want to talk about really quick? Is there anything you want to say at all for our listeners? I feel like this episode was a bit of a bust, so maybe we can make up for it in the end here. What do you think?
Yeah, just, you know, check out all the other podcasts on the network. Lots of good stuff there. Check out all of our other episodes for stuff that's not as depressing. and, yeah, I mean, that's it. Just, you know, thanks, everybody.
Yes. Well, follow me on Twitter at Dilla Boots. Follow my new podcast at Story Germ. Tim, you've been listening to Story Germ, I know. Cause
I like Story Germ.
Did you listen to this week's episode by chance?
I did, but are you gonna quiz me on it?
It was really quick. It was kind of a quick throwaway.
It was a pod blast. It was a major pod blast. It was in and out, super fast.
Yeah, which I like doing. I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, no, it's just a bite-sized little thing. It was decent. I'm trying to remember what this week's episode was about because it goes by so quick. Almost.
I went to the Santa Fe Brewing Company, right?
Yes.
And I had. I mentioned you in the podcast too. I had the whatever it was called, whatever beer it was. And then last night I went to a bar with a friend from work, and on their menu they had that same exact beer from the Santa Fe Brewing Company. And I tried it, and you know what?
Nice.
It was good, but it wasn't as good as I remembered it. I don't know why.
Huh?
I don't know. It was an IPA. Yeah, it was an IPA, and
it wasn't as fresh.
No, and it wasn't as IPA-ish as I thought it would be.
Yeah, because it wasn't as fresh. It
wasn't as fresh, right? I appreciate that they had that beer though. I was like, oh, nice. Look at this. It's the same Santa Fe. Beer. You know what? I took a picture of it. Let me look it up really quick. But yeah, it was a very bite-sized episode. I almost didn't do an episode. Santa Fe Happy Camper. That's what it is. Or IPA flavor profile: crisp pine, grass, bread, honey, orange finish. Yeah. So it was a good beer, and not as good as I remember it, but yeah. I did that episode really quick, and
yeah, I'd recommend people go listen to it because it's just a quick. It flies by 7 minutes.
And you tweeted out on the Lucha account the previous episode I did for Top Beer, which I think you actually liked more. What was it called? I don't even remember. You mentioned me on Twitter. What was that? Let me look it up really quick. It was the – wait, was it this week's episode? Oh, the Ha Ha Very Funny episode. That's what it was.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said on that episode, you are like my spiritual co-host on that show because you do appear quite often.
Yes.
Which is fine by me, you know. It's fun it's fun to have a spiritual co-host on the show. So anyway, check out it is. Check out Story Germ. Follow me at Story Germ. Follow our show at Lucha Undead. Any other plugs, Tim? Did we miss anything? I think that's it, right?
No, that's it.
Yeah, well, we'll be back next week with another interview for Lucha Undead. We're actually going to have sort of a special guest that I found myself for the first time.
That's true.
I found a guest for us for that show, so that should be fun and interesting.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be. All right, well, I think that's it. Oh, Tim, we can't leave without your famous, your how you end the show.
Oh, yes,
every week.
Yes,
come
yes.
on, Noah.
It's the tough because tonight, we were missing one of the three Bs, which that would have been the most important of the Bs, which is the good beer. But we did have the good buds, and of course we always have the good banter. So good night.